Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, there's a very nice temple in Vrindavan that when you have visited the temple, in order to conclude your experience, to complete it, you sit on the steps of the temple and you chant one mantra. And I thought we will chant this mantra together and then go right into our subject, which is the sacred space. But isn't it nice to be alive in Italy?
Yes.
Little hot sometimes, but there's also a breeze, so. Please sit properly. I will chant the mantra one time. It's a monosyllable mantra. You find it also in the Maha Mantra. And then repeat after me. Deep inhale. Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskajare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Dear everyone, I feel this morning there's something which I would like to share with you that might make a profound change in your life and the way you approach your spiritual practice. I hope even that you will find the key to that door which you hope will open in your life. We all have on our spiritual journey some obstacles, or let us say some doors to open, some new doors, some new discoveries to make. And the discovery of the Dahara Akash can help us to make those new, to get those new insights which we may just need to do our next step. The Dahara Akash is the sacred, it can be translated into English as the sacred space within the heart. Yoga traditions will speak of the yoga zone. When you come in the zone, then all of a sudden you find out how the prana moves you. You are no longer the mover of your asanas. You are moved by that force, that life force within you. And the Buddhists will speak of the lotus of the heart, which opens when you find the key, etc. This Dahara Akash, I stumbled into it, really. I can only say it like this. When I was on a sacred pilgrimage, which led me from Rishikesh upwards the course of the Ganga to the little town Gangotri, which is very close to the source of the Ganga. It's a beautiful spiritual hike or path, which maybe in the future Raghunath might consider to take you on. So I had reached Gangotri, and I stayed nearby this town in the cave of a yogic. His name was Prasanatma, and that was very nice. It was high in the Himalayas. The snake came by to check me. An eagle landed on the branch of the tree. Then Mr. Bear came. All these lived with the yogi, and somehow they accepted me in their fold. Afterwards, I had visited a little Ram temple and chanted a few mantras before the temple, when I felt all of a sudden the door opened, and I continued to chant. And as I chanted, water came upon me, and I looked, and I saw a sadhu standing just behind me. He was crying, and some of his tears sprinted out of his eyes, and they wetted my shoulder. It's nice to be bathed in tears by a saint, so I was not objecting. And I looked a second time, and I saw he was blind. He had been with a helper, but he looked at the altar, and he saw something which I didn't see with my physical eyes. I could understand there was something going on in another form of perception, which I was still new to. I did not know. I was intrigued. Why does he come to this altar, and what does he see? And so on my way back, I first went up to the source of the Ganga. On my way back, I decided to go back into the temple and meet him and asked him. And I said, "You are blind, yet you see. Where do you see?" And it was translated. And he became shy, and he looked away. He did not want to respond. But his translator, who somehow recognized me, he had seen me before in Vrindavan. I think the English word is he nudged him a little, and he said, no, Sachinandan Swami, tike, he's okay. So then the sadhu, his name was Gangadas, he spoke. He said, "See, there is a space in the heart. It's the Dahara Akash. This is the space where the self, the soul resides, and the Lord resides. And I only want to be in the temple of this heart, and I want to see my Lord there. I do not need eyes to see the world. I want eyes to see my Lord. And that is possible in the temple of the heart. So he spoke about spiritual perception, which comes at the moment where you are entering this inner space where all your spiritual discoveries take place. I was really moved, you know, when someone, and later I heard that he was offered an eye surgery. Apparently it was not so dramatic with some, it could be corrected, but he denied. He said, no, I don't want, I want to see a much vaster world than the world which the eyes can see. I want a happiness which the world cannot give me and which the world cannot take away from me. And that is possible when I enter this sacred space within the heart. It moved me. I started a little bit my research. I found out, I've written this down. Oops.
Now I in your lap.
Ah, you know everything, Jiva. Jiva, ooh. I found this out. There is in the scriptures, in the Chandogya Upanishad, in the 8th Prapataka, a beautiful verse. It says, a great treasure lies hidden in our hearts. In this human body is like a city with 9 gates. 2, 4, 6, 7, and 2 are under the belt. We are cultured people here. So, yes, constantly impressions come in through the eyes, the ears, the nose. Just like ox carts will come through the medieval towns. You might see some of these ancient towns still in Italy. So in this city of the body, there's a very special house, it's the heart. And again, in this heart, there is a very special room. It's called the Dahara Akash, this sacred space in the heart. And there you find the Self and the Supreme Self. Could you follow? You have a treasure. It's in your heart. There is a sacred space, a spiritual space. This Upanishads continue. It's very small, but as vast as the universe. The whole universe can fit in. This is where the yogis make their spiritual visions. This is where the bhaktas get all their perception. That's why our Raghunath sits, a divorced man, sits in Italy with his harmonium and is in bliss because he enters another world, a sacred space in the heart where everything is okay. You don't mind this example, I looked for something. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about this. He says, you, Krishna, exist with your abode in the temple of the heart. And you can be met there when the door to the entrance has been unlocked or opened by Bhakti Yoga. Mm. Let us again talk about this, because some of you looked a little sleep deprived and tired. So there is this space, but there is a door which guards this space, which needs to be unlocked. My dear everyone, this door is the ego, the material ego. I would like you to focus a little bit about how you perceive the world when you look from the ego perspective, and how you look at the same world when you are connected to the divine, when you are surrendered, when you are in bhakti. Let us say you are successful. You look at your success from the view, I am in control, I made this success. Well, there's a chance that some of us might feel pride. Others will feel how their ego inflates. And others, like me, will think that went good, and we will become complacent. It's enough now. I'm advanced. This is when you think I'm in control. At that time, the door has not opened. The ego door is still closed. It's not open. Let us look at the situation that you are successful, but you are in that space. You are in bhakti. You are connected to the divine or to Krishna. How will you feel? You will feel grateful. You feel a sense of humility. I really didn't do it. And your faith increases. Now let us look, when you are in the ego world, in the ego mind, at failure. When you have failure, you will feel disappointed. You will feel dejected. You will feel that your carefully established facade has just come down, and you feel a severe case of inferiority complex. No? Let us now look at failure. When you are in that space and when you are connected with the divine, you will feel acceptance of the failure. You will feel optimism. Yeah, Krishna is in control. You have given up your ego. You will see a sense of future, and you might even tell yourself, failure is the pillar of success. Let's greet it. Something good can be built on this. Let us now say you are in the ego mind. You are not yet through the door, and you face a challenge in your life. You will feel anxious, you will feel lonely, you feel overwhelmed, and you feel a mixture of the German and American version of stress. No, very stressed, very big stress. This happens when you're still not in that sacred space, right? When you are still before the door of the ego. Let us now say you face a challenge, but you have entered this connection in this sacred space in the heart. You feel, although there's a challenge, excited, hopeful, all is possible, and you feel equipoised. Is that a proper English word, Rachel?
Yes.
Equipoised. No? Yes?
Yes?
There is such a word. Good. Balanced inside. Okay, this comes up. I remember once. Sometimes you switch before these things. We were in Moscow. We were called Goranga Bhajan Band at that time. I mean, it was a group we had formed. The dancing monks were called Goranga Bhajan Band, and we So we were waiting before the curtain, and I was the master of ceremonies and all of this, to go out before a waiting crowd of 33,000 people. Now, I'm not Raghunath. Raghunath gets life when he is in this situation, and he will make jokes with everyone, and so on. I was a little... 33,000 people. I was a little bit like this. And then I understood I'm in the ego mind. I'm not yet in the bhakti mind. So I said, well, let me enter the sacred space. I will tell you what you can do in a little while. I did my prayers. I chanted my mantras. I prayed for the higher connection. And then I remember I just came out from behind the curtain. I said, hello, everyone. we will have the best evening together now, which we ever had, and so on and so forth. Because this was a challenge for me. I'm sometimes a shy person, and at that time I felt severe shyness. Then I thought, no. Everything is not under my control, and when I'm in the sacred space, miracles happen often. Yeah. So, all what we have heard, gratitude, humility, faith, a sense of acceptance and great energy, even in the face of failure, the understanding all is possible, all these are symptoms of bhakti. When you are in the sacred space of the heart, when you have bypassed the ego, which makes everything so difficult in your life, then you are there, you are surrendered to the divine plan. You are in a divine flow, which is just amazing. And I guess that's what everyone is interested in, to have that experience in the retreat. I will tell you very honest something. It was easy for me to cut my hair and become a devotee. Some decades ago. It was easy for me to change my dress. I liked outlandish dresses. In fact, in the town, I was known as the wizard. I was liking to dress like that, Hamburg. It was easy to change my diet even, to become a vegetarian and so on. But that is not yoga. That is not bhakti yoga, to change the name and all these external things. If you do not change the heart, if you do not remove the materialistic ego from the seat of the heart, which it has, how is the English word? Usurped?
Usurped.
Then all your spiritual practice is only some decoration of the ego. You will get the right, you know, if you see this some in the yoga scene or in the material world, then the right dress. What do I dress here? Okay, I don't dress in suit and tie. I dress in a leopard-like yoga pants, which I stretch over my muscles so that everyone sees. It's still the same ego. Decorated in the yoga fashion. And as long as that is there, you won't enter the spiritual experience in the sacred space of the heart. I would like to give you a little example which I heard, and we had this Swiss retreat in the mountains. We were surrounded by I sat yesterday by mountains which had actually snow on them. It was not as hot as here. Our retreat was under the overarching subject, the art of real transformation. Huh? The art of transformation. So one of the speakers, Keshava Maharaj, told a story how it is important that we transform the ego to make spiritual advancement, and how it's important to come in the sacred space of the heart. So there was this very wonderful spiritually minded lady who was married to a husband who was a businessman, a hardcore businessman. So she felt, we are getting old and my husband is still so much attached only to money and to material success. He's missing out on the treasures of spiritual life. So next time when a sadhu came, you know what a sadhu is? Saintly person? He said, can't you take my husband, my unwilling, dull husband, on a pilgrimage with you and give him the treasures of bhakti? The sadhu was a good-hearted man and said, yet let him come along. So they went on a tour to all the places of pilgrimages. They bathed in the Ganga, they had darshan in various beautiful temples. He introduced him to other holy people, but no, he was a difficult case. Nothing worked. His heart didn't change. He just thought, when do we go home and I can make some money? This is not really valuable. So after a year they returned, and the sadhu said, I can't help him. He is a hopeless case. The door of the ego is so heavily locked, he can't enter the sacred space of the heart. That there's no bhakti. The wife said, I beg you, he's a good man. He's just a little wrong in the head, but otherwise the heart is good. Can't you try one more thing? So the sadhu said, okay, I have one more idea. We go to Varanasi where they burn the dead bodies so that he sees what is the meaning of material life. It all ends on a funeral pyre. So they brought, he went to Varanasi. One family had just finished stacking up or building up a good-sized funeral pyre, and the dead body was brought, and everyone cried. It was a large extended family. The son put the torch to the funeral pyre, and the wood started to burn and crackle, and the dead man started to burn. This moment, the businessman started to cry. So the sadhu next to him thought, the job is done! The sadhu said, You feel the temporary nature of material existence. Maybe you feel you have wasted your life. It's all right, we can talk about it. No, said the man. All my life I tried to invest in a good business. I should have invested in wood. Everyone will be burnt. This is the best business. Every one of the millions of people will end here. This I should have sold wood. I wasted my life. This is how heavy the ego is. It's described a knot in the heart, which is around the heart and which is there. And it creates all these little things which we call habits. You know what is a habit? Habits are very difficult to remove. Take the H away, A bit is still there. Take the A away, still there, the bit. Take the B away, there is the it. Habits come from this ego, and so on. So is there then hope for us? Is there a way into the which can dissolve the ego, and so that we can move into the sacred space? My dear everyone, I wouldn't sit here if there wouldn't be a hope and a way. First of all, the sacred scriptures, they say there is the path of bhakti, which has five different things, and I will want to make it simple. It starts with sangha. Your sangha or association with spiritual people, you should look out for like-minded people, for people who have affection for you, who love you, despite your how you are at the present moment, who don't even see this. It's not a point for them if you have failures. It should be people who take, who can give you shelter. Hello, it's now important. You were momentarily going into another land. It's important that you have association with people who can give you spiritual shelter, because to move on in your life, you might have to take a little risk. You might have to be able to activate this factor in you, which is called trust. I don't really know how this will work for me, this path of bhakti, but I have association with like-minded people, with people who are affectionate towards me, who love me, who don't judge me, even if they see something in me, which is maybe still work in progress, and who can give me some shelter, some encouragement, and even they can say, you can, we are one spiritual family, we take care of whatever need is there. Then you can do what is necessary to make that little jump in your life where you say, I don't want to be any longer outside of this sacred space in the heart. I want to enter. And it might take a little risk or trust. You can ask Raghunath, Paramananda, Kostuba. To make that little step, you need to have trust that this will work. And Sangha, or good association, helps you to strengthen that trust. The second thing which will bring you into the sacred space is what you do already very well. You listen to the Bhagavatam. In the second chapter of the first canto appears, a text which says, by listening to the Bhagavatam, you will capture the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. He will, in other words, he's outside everywhere, but because your door might be so much locked. I know one person in the audience for sure who has not yet opened his door. You cannot really experience Krishna in the heart. You cannot experience this bliss. You cannot experience what it means to be finally free from this terrorist of the ego, and so on. But regularly listening to the Bhagavatam, the word is nityam, or regular, you know, day by day, you will see your perspective change? Have you, you have maybe noticed it, that every, when you listen to these beautiful podcasts, Wisdom of the Sages, your awareness really moves up and you deal differently with the world. I remember this episode, Raghunath, where you told about road rage. You know, you were driving innocently your child to the school, and then someone went nearby and experienced road rage. This man experienced road rage and was yelling, and Raghunath was in a good spirit, you know. And so on, but he was in a different vision, and then Raghunath and Kostuba went and examined this a little, and I remembered, I heard it, and then we drove somewhere, and there was also someone who was not satisfied with the way we drive. It had not completely fulfilled his heart with appreciation, so he was also road raging. And I remembered that beautiful broadcast, and I remembered, I stayed just very peacefully, and I... First I did like this, but then I found out that was not the right thing to do, because he accelerated in his road rage. So then but I was not disturbed at all. I remembered the broadcast, and you know. So yes, it's called. There are various translations to the word darshan. One is when you are before the Lord or a saint, and you take his darshan, you come in his presence, and you see him and he sees you. But darshan can also mean an insight, an intuitive knowledge, and all this is opened by regularly listening to the Bhagavatam. No, you can very, very much see that this works in your life, isn't it? Do I say something which is not realistic? You have seen, that's why you listen, and there's some upliftment of your consciousness. And if you continue, you will actually have revelations in the heart, because by the listening the Bhagavatam, your darshan, your perspective on the world changes. And that means you can bypass the ego and your ordinary ego-based perceptions and see it things in a different way. So I can only say I admire these two wonderful personalities, Raghunath, Kostuba, and all those on the team, because it's something, this is spiritual surgery, you know. Or let us say, what does the black, it's welding, or what the blacksmith does, it's, they crack open the lock of the ego, you know, and all of a sudden you get the spiritual perception, the door opens a little bit, in other words, and bhakti, the light of bhakti comes out and shines light on your path. The last thing I want to say, how to get there, is regular practice. In Sanskrit you call this Urdhva Pundra, the path which leads upwards. Some of you I see have put this tilak mark on the forehead. Some of you I see Narayani has done, you have done, some of you have done it. I have also done this morning. It is this is the visible thing. It is the path which leads upwards. Those who wear this sign, they commit to a path, a spiritual practice, which they do regularly and which has a few very wonderful ingredients in them, which we can discuss another time. But the idea is you commit to such a path and it leads you upwards, the Urdhva Pundra. You are initiated eventually in practices like chanting mantras, like chanting the name, doing some tapa, some form of restraint, that you don't always go back to the illusion you want to leave. You are learning yagya, some methods of spiritual ritual or worship, and in this way you are learning things on the Urdhva Pundra, on the path that leads upwards. Good. I would now like to do one thing. We have 15 more minutes. I would like to give you a little taste of entering that sacred space within. Is this a good idea?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Some experience, no? Yes? Yes. Good. So, we need how is your awake for, are you awake or are you sleeping?
Awake.
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 Good, good. You are yogis, you know. Yes, I can see now. Also, our Prabhu is awake. Very good. Very good. So, let me see. What? Yeah. What is? I would like to briefly chant with you a mantra you have never chanted before. This is how we think when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Now I'm going to chant it. And what is the difference? Well, a different focus maybe. I don't know. I can imagine you did this before, but let me make it a little bit fresh, no? And so add some freshness to it. So can you please sit straight? Bring your shoulders a little back because we want to open the volume here in our chest. I do it by bringing my shoulders to the ears and then rolling them back. Oh my God, this is really a new experience in the body. You can leave your eyes open or close it for a moment. Just take a few deep breaths. I learned this from Raghunath. So when you take an inhale, at the top of the inhale, hold your breath as long as you comfortably can do, and then exhale. Completely. Again, deep inhale. And you can do in your own space, hold it in your own speed. I wanted to say hold it and then let go of the air. Completely. No? Then again. Now I request you, as you normally continue to breathe, normal, relaxed breathing, to draw your attention to the space in the heart, or you can just say the heart area. No? Whenever you inhale, follow the inhale down into the heart area. Do these heart breaths or some of you are not following your breath with your mind. You have to follow your breath with your mind. Find after some time that you feel a little lighter. as we sing now. Try to consciously address the Divine Presence, some call it Krishna. Address consciously through your song. Sing in your heart and address that Lord of the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I will first sing alone and then we sing call and response. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please everyone.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Very nice how you do it. Please always remain mindful to chant from that heart space to the Lord of the heart, no? That invisible yet so palpable presence in your life that arranges everything for you. The moment you give up your ego and enter this bhakti mood, please sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
let go, let go, let go. One more time, please, everybody.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare
One more time, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Thank you so very, very much. It is a practice. The Bhagavatam tells us that this knot can also be a lock, no? In the heart can be cut open very easily through the process of bhakti. And then the life starts, the real life starts, the life of being connected with that Supreme Lord who is imbued with of a heart that has bhakta vatsala, that is the love for those who try to develop devotion to him. He responds, he gives you untold treasures. Thank you very, very much again. And Very good, very good, very good.
Shashidhar Maharaj ki.